Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
It is the Friday edition of The Ride Home, and a special happy 412 day to everyone, right?
Happy 412 day, John.
Yep. When did that become a thing?
I didn't even know it was a thing, and
And
I didn't know it was today.
Today it is. It's Mm-mm. April 12th. Right?
Okay.
So the fourth month, the 12th day, it is our beloved area code.
Yeah. Lexi, did you know that was a thing?
412? You don't know that?
I didn't, but I did notice it when I was typing some stuff today.
Yeah, this is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so, well, that's great.
Yeah. It's been around for a while.
Okay. Well, I
celebrate the area code.
I'm happy to celebrate the 412.
How about like when someone says to you, like you go and, you know, medical or whatever, your phone number, please? And reflectively, everyone has to do now 412, right? You have to give your area.
We've had to do that for like 30 years.
I just dislike a 72. I mean, I don't know. It seems so redundant to me.
What, you want everybody to be 412?
No, I just don't want to give my area code all the time.
You want everybody to guess it?
I'm just saying 412.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone's a 412. Is that old and cranky?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is the definition of old and cranky.
Happy 412 day to you, everyone.
Coming up on today's program in the 5 o'clock hour, we will continue our pursuit of National Poetry Month with the segment with one of our favorite poets, Misha Willett. It's also Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day, which I am pumped about. Okay. And the Week in Review comes up at 5:35. In the 4 o'clock hour, the 25 greatest actors of the 21st century so far. We'll kind of get John's read on that since he's the movie guy. And also our good friend Doug Oster, Gardening with Doug.
Standing
he's going
by.
To be on to talk about that. And as we talked about yesterday, this is week two of Eastertide. And if there was ever a part of the church calendar to celebrate people, this is it.
He is risen indeed. Mm-hmm. All right. But of course, it is a Friday. And the
news
never
was it
stops.
Too early for me to tell you?
Tell me.
Oh my gosh, your weekend's begun.
Oh, fabulous.
Good grief. I almost forgot.
Holy smokes. It's a wet one out there.
It is.
It's a wet weekend.
It's super, super duper.
But I hope it's a good weekend for you wherever you are, whatever your plans are. All right, though, news continues to roll forward. So, Kath, please give us the top four at four.
For Friday, April 12th, 2024. Number one. This is a tough one. Israel's bracing for a worst-case scenario that U.S. officials believe could materialize within just hours. The possibility of a direct attack on Israeli soil by Iran in retaliation for a strike almost 2 weeks ago that killed seven Iranian military officers. Iran has vowed to take revenge for Israel killing its commanders who were hit by an April 1st strike on the Iranian embassy in Syria's capital. Two U.S. officials told CBS News that a major Iranian attack against Israel was expected as soon as today, possibly to include more than 100 drones, dozens of missiles aimed at military targets inside the country. It's a lot to take in.
Horrible.
It's a lot to take in. Tehran has not indicated publicly how or when it will return fire, so it's unclear how far Iran's leaders will go. For his part, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed yesterday, whoever harms us, we will harm them.
I mean, you worry about a nuclear strike.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Pray for peace. Number two. Record-breaking rainfall here in the Pittsburgh area has left much of our region under a flood warning. The latest is set to expire at 8 p.m. this evening. At about 9 o'clock this morning, the National Weather Service issued a flood warning for Allegheny, Southern Armstrong, a whole bunch of other surrounding counties, and a wind advisory for much of the region through 7 a.m. Saturday. There was a lot of rain last night. The rivers near downtown Pittsburgh have already risen more than 21 feet due to heavy rains. The bathtub is closed as of noon today. So if you're driving around the city of Pittsburgh, please be sure to make plans for that. Duquesne Light reported about 4,600 customers were without power. By the way, I texted both of you last night when I sensed running water in my basement and my lights went out and I heard from neither of you. So thanks.
It was my bedtime.
Yeah.
We were dealing with our own calamities. Listen, we were at the theater last night, a live theater event. Everyone's phone in the entire theater, like 1,000 people.
Because of the flood warnings.
It was crazy.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Number three, speaking of rivers, the swimming portion of the triathlon event at the 24 Paris Olympics might be impacted by poor water quality in the Seine. Mm-hmm. The president of the Paris 2024 organizing committee said that pollution in the water is a challenge and the swimming event might be delayed until later in the games. There was a big story. I don't remember what periodical or newspaper it was in. I want to say it was the Wall Street Journal, maybe last week or the week before, about what they're doing to try to clean up the Seine.
Forget it.
To allow this to happen.
They're checking levels.
It is incredible.
Right. So they can hold the Olympics and you can go swim in the Seine, but don't close or don't have your eyes open or your mouth open or your nose or anything like that, because the E. coli will eat you alive.
Oh, man. You can read more about that at CBS News. And number four, what a hockey game last night. Sidney Crosby reached 1,000 assists. Carlson gave the game away and then won the game a few minutes later. They edged Detroit last night 6-5 and are in the playoffs as of now.
Three games left in the season.
That's your top four at four.
Very nice. All right.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry you missed it.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a game that could have driven you crazy?
Because they were up like by 2 or 3 points, right?
But I was screaming. I was watching it by myself by the end because my husband went to bed. Sid is incredible.
Yes.
What a game.
Carrying
it was just super. It was just really, really fun.
Very nice. Okay, well, happy 412 for the Friday edition of The Ride Home. We'll take a quick break, come back. Even amidst the deluge, have you been thinking about your garden? Well, Pittsburgh's premier gardener, Doug Oster, will join us in a few minutes. It is The Ride Home. We are Pittsburgh's Christian Talk on Word FM. My neighbor across the street has a beautiful yard. He's already cut his grass at least 3 times. He's mulched. His flowers are already up. He's weeded as well. I've yet to do anything. It's just some people are born to that or just love it, embrace it. Others, we kind of go, meh. Here's a guy who embraces it deeply. Doug Oster is back with us. Doug is editor of Gardening with Doug at DougOster.com. Doug, welcome back. Happy spring.
Happy spring. But, man, this is a wet one.
Oh.
I'm on the road. I was going up 79, and I crossed the Conequenessing, and I have never seen anything like that.
Is that right?
Super high.
Not just high. It just completely overran the banks, and it's like a marsh. I mean, I've just never seen anything like it. This is, for spring gardening, this is stopping everything, to tell you the truth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you told us years ago, and by us, I mean me and everyone who's listened to you for all this time, that until you can turn your soil over and have it not be wet, you can't be doing any digging.
Kathy, I am so proud of you.
I try to be a good student, Doug.
I can't believe you remember these things. Now, what am I supposed to talk about? Why don't you tell them what to do?
No, that's all. I know what not to do.
This is key, though.
Yeah, if the soil sticks to the shovel, it's too wet. And obviously, with this kind of weather, it's too wet. Once the rain stops, the trick is, if you do want to get started early, it's in containers or it's just buying a couple bags of compost, throwing it on top of that planting area and just planting directly in the compost. Mm. Then you don't have to worry about destroying that soil structure. But boy, I'm telling you, I have never seen a spring like this with this much rain, just over and over again. This is, like I said, this is shutting down the gardening season. I do have containers out there, which containers are fine to plant in, even with this kind of rain. And so it's all the cool weather stuff now. And Kathy, I'm going to quiz you a little bit. I want to see if you're going to be able to get going early here, because that's my hope with things like, lettuce and kale and arugula and other greens.
Broccoli. I have parsley and chives in.
All right.
I've got my thyme is terrific. After all, it survived the winter beautifully.
Yeah.
And with all the rain, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Did I say I've got parsley? Yeah. Parsley. Yeah. I feel good. Oh, and I got a sage and rosemary too.
Oh, that's great. Your rosemary wintered over?
Yeah. How about that?
Man, oh, man. I'm so afraid that you're not going to be able to use me anymore.
Listen, I just told you the beginning and end of all I have to offer. That is it, my friend.
And I've got less than that. We need you, Doug.
All right. I appreciate that. But, you know, those fresh herbs and the fact that they went it over, how fantastic. To add that to a dish, it's just amazing. And that's part of the beauty of gardening. You know, for right now, we're in the earliest daffodil season that I've ever seen. Mm. And what should be the middle of the season is we're seeing the latest daffodil starting to bloom now. But this is the time when you look at where this stuff is blooming and where it's not. And to make a notation, take a picture. I'm already planning for that fall planting. I just so love spring bulbs, and I so love daffodils that I'm looking to where I will plant this fall. And I want to know where these little pockets are when I get to fall, because you'll never remember. You know, that area is all going to change. It's all going to be green in just a couple weeks, and you won't know where those daffodils are or aren't. And so this is a great time to do that. And there's something about just having a flower for a short amount of time. You know, you wait all winter, and then you get these beautiful blooms right now. You know, I've been having so much fun picking daffodils, and that's a trick too, Kathy. Pick them, don't cut them.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean? I saw you say that online. What does that mean?
Well, when you cut them, they drip out this stuff that when you put them in a vase, they don't last very long. If you reach down to the bottom and you pick, you get kind of a spongy, solid thing at the very base of the stem, and they last much, much longer in a vase. Well, I've been picking and picking and giving them away to everybody. You know, any place I go, it's a dry cleaner. I had breakfast with an old friend this morning, and I said, meet me over by the bank. I'm parking over there. I got something for you. And she's like, well, I'm already at the front door. And when I came walking up, she goes, I was hoping it was going to be daffodils.
Oh.
And even though they're around just for this short amount of time, a month or two, they're magical. And it's, again, one of the things about gardening is just what we call the ephemeral nature of it, where things come and go, and we wait all year to see them, and it makes you appreciate them more. Whether it's your parsley and your rosemary or your daffodils or whatever it is, when it's there, and it's not going to be there forever, of course, in the case of your parsley, it might be, but for a lot of these things, they're not there forever, and they shut down in the winter, and now is the time to really enjoy them. It'll be interesting to see what all this rain does for the garden. I think it's going to make everything explode, to tell you the truth, because looking at the weather, you know, you come out of this in 40s and 50s, and it dries out and you get 70s, everything is just going to explode, which is exciting for anybody who gardens.
Yeah. Doug Oster's with us, Gardening with Doug, DougOster.com. So, Doug, we're in a holding pattern, as you're talking about here. But how about you were recently at the garden show, you're handing out seeds left and right, people planting tomato seeds? Yeah?
Definitely. You know, this is something you can do it either inside or outside. That's what's nice about this. You know, the best way to do it is to start inside under lights. And the most important thing is to have that bright light source. Anybody can make the seed sprout. You just put a seed into some moist soil or planting mix, cover it with plastic after you put the seed in so it doesn't dry out. And once it sprouts, you take the plastic off. Anyone can do that. After that, you need bright light. So that's the way you do it inside. But then outside, you can just take something like a clamshell container from the grocery store, or you can cut a one-gallon milk jug in a way where you cut almost all the way around and the handle becomes a hinge. You drill some holes at the bottom. You fill that up with moist planting mix. Now you put those tomato seeds in. You put the top back on. You stick it outside, and they'll sprout when they're ready. You can do that with any vegetable.
Really?
And so, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, you would want a tomato that would be coming to fruition early. You'd want an early girl, a cherry or something like that, mm-hmm. just because you might not have enough time. But you'd be surprised, you know. But if you also do that style and you put the things in, like the things you can't plant in the soil right now, the lettuce or arugula or, you know, any other kind of leafy green, you could do the same thing in that kind of thing when they sprout. Now, by the time they do, the soil will be ready, and you just kind of gently pick out those little thinnings and plant them, and they'll go to town. So, Kathy, what is going to be the first thing you're going to plant?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Doug, because I was thinking about that as you were talking. I was thinking, so I do most of my gardening in containers because I have so many rabbits in my yard, and I can't bear to do anything to the rabbits because I love them. I'm a total softy, which means that my gardening has to be subservient. But they don't bother what I have in pots. And my and all of the stuff I've been talking about that comes back every year, all my herbs are in pots. And they keep rejuvenating. But I like to put a nice, sunny thing in each pot. So it's not just green. You know, it's not just, you know, chives and sage and everything looking crazy. Mm-hmm. And I like a nice, sunny, pink geranium in each pot. So it just you get a nice, big, you know, burst of color in the middle. And then all of my, you know, basil and everything can kind of grow around it.
So for anybody out there that's thinking the same thing, but you didn't want to wait to plant the geranium because you have to wait until we get basically frost-free, pansies and violas are a fun, easy thing to throw in right now to get instant color. And I'm mixing them with these really pretty lettuces. There's a lettuce called Freckles that has, you know, the leaves are green, but they have red splotches on them. There's one with a really funny name called, and it's easy to find, it's called Flashy Troutback, which I know is a weird name, but basically that it looks like, a pretty trout you'd be swimming by. That's what the lettuce looks like. And when you put in in my case, I'm putting beautiful like white violas into the container with them. As I harvest the lettuce, the violas will take over. And so that's just kind of a fun way. It's kind of a trend now to do ornamental edibles with ornamentals, and actually the pansies and violas are edible.
Are edible,
just
right?
Just the flower. I always say that a salad at my house is a leap of faith because you're going to be eating flowers with your salad too, and radish pods and dandelion greens, and not for everybody, but Kathy, I think you'd enjoy it.
Oh yeah,
John, I'm not so sure about you.
Man. Throw some meat on there, Doug. Would you please?
Wait
a minute. If you're talking about Freckles, the lettuce, and Flashy Troutback, and all that, are you putting that in from seed?
No, usually I'm finding those as plants.
Okay.
Another one easy to find is Buttercrunch.
Yeah.
You know, all the nurseries have this stuff now because there's nothing left that Mother Nature has in her to stop this stuff, and so it's all at the nursery. That's what I did. I bought a flat of those violas, bought a mixed flat of spinach, bunching onions, arugula, and these lettuces, and they're all going into containers. And again, they'll be fine out there with this rain.
Excellent.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So the weather forecast, Doug, just looking ahead quickly. I mean, next week we're looking at temperatures in the mid 70s, maybe someday in 80 degrees. Yeah.
That's great news. As I said, it's going to make everything explode. It's going to get us back into the garden where we can get started and start thinking about where everything is going to go, what we want to do in our beds, what we want to do in our containers. And it's going to – you're just going to snap your fingers one day, and we're going to be off to the races again.
Fabulous.
And that's just an exciting feeling. Obviously, John, your neighbor has already snapped his fingers.
Oh.
Cutting the grass three times and doing his mulching.
He's out
there. The friend I was eating breakfast with this morning told me she had 10 yards of mulch and I think 7 yards of compost sitting in her driveway.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, I'm too old for that. That has passed me by. That's too much to move.
Yeah.
I one time moved 8 yards of mulch, or no, compost, and I didn't know where to move it. And I put it as close as I could get to the garden, and my wife came home and she announced, we're having a graduation party in 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
And everybody where that compost is, everybody's gonna have to walk right through that.
Oh my gosh.
So we've got 3 days to the party, get to work. And moving 6 yards to me back then, even, this is 15 years ago at least, that was tough. So I don't know how she's doing it. That's too much for me. 1 yard at a time.
Okay, now wait a minute. First off, I assume that what your wife said was at high volume and not the way you've expressed it to us.
Yeah.
Second thing
She doesn't know. Actually, she doesn't have to go high volume. She just has to say it, and maybe even in the low volume with that disappointing tone I'm used to hearing.
It's the worst.
That's enough to get me to work. Luckily, at the time, my boys were still at home, so it's like, boys, guess what? We've got some work to do before this party.
Fabulous.
You get the wheelbarrow, and I'll start filling it up for you. You guys keep moving them. Two wheelbarrows. You know, so every time one would come back, I'd put compost in here. And as we've talked a million times, guys, compost is the key. And there's actually free compost out there, especially for Allegheny County. You look around in your municipality, they're dumping compost all over the place where they make it out of our leaves. And that stuff's fine to use. It's free. And you just you put that into your garden, and you're going to give the plants everything they need, and they're going to outgrow most of the problems that we have.
All right, Doug, two quick things because our time's almost up. A free garden seminar coming up this weekend with you for people?
Yep. I'm going to be Sunday at 1 p.m. I'm going to be at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse, which is down off 79, the Bridgeville exit. It's actually a three-part course. It's how to grow your own food called Seed to Supper. And if you come to all three, there's going to be one in the summer and one in the fall, you get a special gift. But come down Sunday, 1 o'clock. I'm going to teach you everything about growing your own food. And there's lots of beautiful plants there at Bedner's. And all that information is at DougOster.com.
That's awesome.
I can't wait. I'm glad to be out there and helping people out. We've already got a bunch of people signed up. It's free, but you got to register because the seats are limited.
Great. All right. And last thing, the next people you meet for breakfast should be me and John.
That sounds good to me.
Let's do it sometime.
Well, we're almost out of daffodil season, so I'll have to wait till something else is in bloom so I can at least bring you some flowers, Kathy. John, I don't know about you. Maybe I'll bring you some, just some meat?
Yeah, just some meat. Bring your sunny disposition, Doug. We're all good to go, all right? That's all we need.
That sounds great.
Excellent.
That's Doug Oster,
thanks,
editor
guys.
Of Gardening with Doug. Look for him at DougOster.com.
It is time for this or that. It's our Friday feature. I've got a list. Kath has a list.
Yep.
And we just go back and forth. All right, Kath, here's my list for this week.
Okay.
Innocence.
Yes.
Earnestness.
Oh, listen, look at how you get so transcendental.
Mm.
Tell me again.
Innocence. Earnestness.
Earnestness.
All right, earnestness.
You know what? The importance of being earnest is one of my favorite plays of all time.
At the Public right now, as a matter of fact.
I know, and I can't go.
Morning hair, morning breath.
Oh, you know what? I will tell you this. My morning breath is better than my morning hair. That's how bad the hair is.
Well, you've got a lot of hair.
Yeah, it's a lot of hair.
Bunk bed, sleeping bag.
Oh, both I really dislike. I really, really dislike. I don't even know what to say. All right, I'm going to pick sleeping bag.
Oh, really?
I can't stand how I can't get my foot out.
Yeah, but that bunk bed?
It's the climbing up to the top of that. Get
worst.
Out.
The flu, a bad cold.
Oh. That's a tough one. But because of my last week, I'm saying flu.
Oh, really?
Because that cold was just wretched.
Take it out of you.
Terrible.
Global warming, climate change.
I liked when it was just global warming.
Okay.
And then I like how it had to, because then when it started cooling, then we had to call it something else.
Vertigo, ringworm.
I'll definitely pick ringworm over vertigo.
There you go. Pro ringworm here in the studio. Just okay, zing.
I mean, I think we'll go with zing.
Okay. Pro zing, too. Biscotti. Chocolate chip cookie.
I mean, there's so... How do you pick there?
Yeah.
I'm going biscotti.
Yeah,
that
nice.
Was very hard, though.
Mm-hmm. Excitement about the Pirates. Excitement about the Pens.
Oh. Well, the Pens thing, we still don't even know if they're going to...
Yeah.
I'm saying Pirates.
Okay, really?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm saying
good.
Pirates.
All right. Colin Dunlap. Mark Madden.
Okay, both great broadcasters.
Yes.
Both controversial.
Mm.
Both
bold.
Both bold. I like them both.
Yeah.
I appreciate them both. I'm going Dunlap.
Okay.
But that was close.
Excellent. Tulips. Daffodils.
Tulips.
All right. Grapefruit juice, orange juice.
Grapefruit juice. Mm-hmm. And it's best if you mix them.
The Easter basket, the Christmas stocking.
Christmas stocking.
All right. Chuck Tanner.
No, I go back. Oh, okay. I'm going to Easter Christmas. Basket.
Oh, you are, really?
Yeah, I am.
Chuck Tanner, Jim Leland.
I have to go Leland.
Yeah.
I like them both too, but
love
you have
them both.
To go, I have
been
to go
fortunate.
I have to go Leland.
And with that, Mike Sullivan, Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin, okay. Come on.
A lot of tight ones
come
there,
Kat. Come on.
That's my this or that.
All right, John, it seems like we've had a little bit of rain.
Yep.
A lot of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you the rainy day edition of this.
Ah, the rainy day once again.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
It's a rainy day, John, and you get to stay at home.
Mm.
You get dressed as usual, or you stay in your PJs all day?
PJs.
Okay.
Oh, please.
Good.
I'm not going anywhere.
Me too.
Get me?
Breakfast in bed or go to a diner?
I'm going to stay at home. But I don't want breakfast in bed.
No, it's this or that, John.
I'm going to a diner.
Me
then.
Too. I hate crumbs in the
yeah,
bed.
I don't want the
it's
bed.
Not
no.
even appealing to
yeah,
me.
No.
Board game or charades? I'm trusting that there are other people home
yeah,
with you on
yeah.
the rainy day.
No, a board game for okay. sure. Yeah.
Finally try knitting, John, mm-mm. or finally try yoga?
Oh, yoga. Oh,
okay,
I
easy.
Yeah.
Go to the aviary or go to the Warhol?
Oh, the aviary.
Hit the nationality rooms
mm-hmm.
at the Cathedral of Arden.
Yeah.
Or tour the sub at the Science Center.
Oh, I'm going to the nationality rooms.
Are you?
Yeah.
Fort Pitt Museum uh-huh. or Clemente Museum?
Oh, Clemente Museum. Please.
Carnegie Museum?
Yeah.
Or Phipps?
On a rainy day, the Carnegie.
Okay. I'm
going to wander around.
Bicycle Heaven or the Moonshot Museum?
Oh, the Moonshot Museum.
Yeah, I haven't been there
yeah,
yet. Have you?
Yeah, neither know.
Pins Mechanical or Coupe de Ville or, you know, going
yeah.
to one of those places where you're going to play, you know, skee ball and
yeah,
duck
yeah,
pin
I
or
love
whatever.
That. Yeah.
Or Arcade Comedy.
Oh, Pin Mechanicals. Give me some pinball.
Row House Cinema in Lawrenceville
yeah.
or Arsenal Lanes?
I like Arsenal Lanes.
Okay.
Old school.
Okay. Climbing gym or an indoor trampoline park?
Oh, boy. I don't want to climb the trampoline park. My vertigo will kick in.
Okay, I can't wait to see it.
Climbing gym.
All right. Work on a TikTok dance, John,
mm-hmm.
or mend some old clothes?
Mend some old clothes. The heck? Rainy day? All right, one more time. Well, the sacredness of marriage has taken another hit. It was announced today that the Golden Bachelor couple, you remember the
yes,
couple?
Yes, sure. I mean, right. not that I watched it, but it got such publicity.
Big news, right?
Yeah.
Jerry Turner
yeah.
and his new wife of 3 months, Teresa Nist, they've announced today that they are divorcing after 3 months of marriage. 3 months. 3 months of marriage.
Lex, you watched that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch it, but I'm super disappointed.
It didn't work out.
Now, Jerry Turner says, Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, and we've looked closely at our situation, our living situation and so forth, and we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage. Mm-hmm. He told Good Morning America that. The pair tied the knot in a televised ceremony in January after meeting last fall on the first season of The Golden Bachelor,
oh.
a spinoff of the long-running ABC dating show The Bachelor. Nist 70 thanked her fans for the support. I don't think we can tell you how many people told us that it gave them so much hope. We want none of that to change for anybody. Turner and Nist did not say what led to their split, but suggested they had trouble deciding where to live. Turner and Nist captured the hearts of the nation, really,
well,
during the first season of The Golden Bachelor, in which seniors were given the chance to find love. Turner was in search of a romantic partner following the death of his high school sweetheart in 2017. Although their marriage was short-lived, 90 days, Turner and Nist said they still love each other.
Do they? They
There's
still
no
love
doubt
each other.
In my mind that I'm still in love with her. I root for her every day. Nist says, yeah, I still love him. Yeah, I still love him. All right. Everything's been televised. Will the divorce proceedings be televised?
That's a great question.
Right? The golden divorce, which apparently you know, is a thing, right?
So now they've decided that they've each earned a certain amount of money.
I'm sure.
And now they can separate.
Yeah, well, for him especially, right? He rode that season out. He made, I'm sure, a handsome sum.
Well, she had to also.
Probably so. Yeah.
I wonder what kind of money we're talking about there.
Not enough to keep them together.
Are we talking about $400,000? Are we talking about $4 million?
No, I don't think millions. Probably hundreds or thousands. And, of course, they're on the circuit. You know, if they wanted to, they could go on, you know.
That B circuit?
Right. You know, they're signing autographs at, you know, Comic-Con or something like that. Right. Or GoldenBachelor.com or whatnot. I mean, there's...
At the Monroeville Expo Mart.
But imagine if that was
which
like, you know...
Which has been saved.
That was your mom or your dad, right?
That's...
And then, you know, you're like supporting them and, you know, thinking, oh, yeah.
Okay, but is this a surprise?
No, it's stupid.
Because the whole thing is so incredibly ridiculously contrived.
Yes, of course, made for television.
And fake in every way, shape, or form. The fact that it doesn't hold up to daily life, duh.
3 months? 3 months into it? I don't know. If someone you know or you are thinking about being in one of these reality TV shows to find true love, you might want to reconsider because it's just all... rubbish.
Oh,
isn't it?
The chasing of celebrity thing is tough right now. And I mean, especially when you read about kids who are between the ages of like 13 and 18.
Who want to be influencers. Right. So these are golden influencers. And I wonder what their feelings are now, you know, with divorce on the table, in actuality, what their thoughts are. They put themselves through this. They become very public figures.
Right.
And their families, their, you know, their children, whatever. I mean,
I would never, never do that.
I mean, your anonymity is just shattered, right? You go to the grocery store and everyone's going, how'd that work out? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. People want to be, right? They want to be connected. They want to be in love. And of course.
Yeah. But I think more, yes. But there are millions of people that just want to be a peeping Tom. That's the part that's creepy.
Yeah. I wonder how the ratings were for the show.
Excellent, Lexi, right? Weren't they? They were great.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, look, the three of us talked about this. Like, are you going to tune in? And none of us did.
Right.
But, of course, you know, there are fans of reality TV shows who would watch, you know, someone slice a loaf of bread.
The
live
only
on
reality
television.
TV shows I like are sports. Because a reality show every single night.
Yeah. Like the, you know, Survivor or...
I've never seen that.
Neither have I. What's the other one where they all live in the house together?
No idea.
You know that show? A bunch of people live in the house and then they all plot against each other and it sounds horrible.
Big Brother?
Big Brother, yeah.
There it is.
It sounds horrible, right?
Yeah, I've never seen
It's like
that.
The worst of human nature.
The Amazing Race would be the only one I think I would watch because it has like a kind of a sports element to it, but I've never seen it either.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, on that show, The Amazing Race, it's couples and, you know, it seems to me like I never watch it either, but you see the promos for it and people are, like, yelling at each other.
Right.
Like, the last thing you need is just more angst in your life.
It's ridiculous.
Right? So that's why probably, you know, the dating shows are so popular. What is that show, Love Blind or Blind in Love, where the people don't see each other?
Love is Blind.
And so there are people in, like, rooms and they're talking to each other and then they reveal themselves, you know, after weeks and weeks and weeks. Like, the goal is to get married on that show. As well, isn't it? Right? And then they see each other and go, I don't think so. I don't know.
Forget it. I can't stand it.
Anyway.
Okay, let's turn our attention to movies. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the 25 top actors of the 21st century so far. Right. I'll just give you a couple and get your read on it. It's next. It's the Friday edition. Right home. We're in a golden age of acting. Make that platinum, says the New York Times. The New York Times decided to go back and look at the past 20 years and kind of make an assessment. I mean, we're only 24 years in, but who, according to the experts who wrote this, are the 25 greatest actors of this century so far? Now, John, you are a movie buff.
I like the movies.
You and your wife are all about the movies. And so when I saw this, it's a really beautifully produced piece by the New York Times.
Yeah.
It includes a lot of photography, beautiful video. I mean, it's just a pleasure to read.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in the movies, I very much suggest you find this. But can I bring up a couple? We don't have time, of course, to go through all 25.
Sure.
But, okay, I'm going to start with 23.
Mm-hmm.
Mahershala Ali.
Mm-hmm. He's beautiful to watch. He has won two Oscars for best supporting roles. There's something streaming on Moonlight.
Netflix, right.
Which is a wonderful, wonderful
film. Maybe 5 years old.
Yeah. Really excellent film. His performance is so beautiful and so understated. He's one of these new, a new generation of actors in some way who is, it's so interesting to watch because he does so little. Mm. It's reactive. Mm. It's so naturalistic in this real, which is very difficult to do in a very simplistic way. Mm. So I just love a man of color. But he shines. He shimmers.
He's such a beautiful face.
He's compelling to watch no matter what he does. There are some people you kind of go, I'd watch that guy, you know, read the phone book. Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy at 22.
She's wild.
Isn't she?
I love her so much.
I love her too.
I mean, you know, she made her name on television, right?
Mick something and Molly?
Yeah, Molly and Me, right?
Mike and Molly.
Mike and Molly, yeah. Which a guy from Swissvale. Was Mike.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so from that, she's parlayed that. I would say this, you know, her first sort of stock in trade was kind of like shock humor, kind of like
Cook-off.
Dirty and, you know.
Okay.
But as a serious actress, she's fabulous. I mean, just really, really.
Because what Jerry Seinfeld said is true.
What's that?
Comedians can become actors, but actors can never become comedians.
I think that's true. Yeah. Yeah, really, yeah. Really fabulous. Yeah. I mean, Melissa McCarthy, I'd watch her, anybody on this list, basically, I'm going to watch them do whatever.
Really?
That's how powerful
okay.
they are. Yeah.
Catherine Deneuve, 21.
Catherine Deneuve.
I haven't thought of her, and I can't tell you how long.
She's been around since the 60s. I mean, talk about an oldie but a goodie. But she is, again, you see her, now you see her in these, you know, bit parts. She's no longer carrying a movie, but tiny little, oh, there's, you know, all of a sudden you kind of sit up. Oh, there's Catherine Deneuve. Just wonderful to watch. So reach the point where a scene or two, or sometimes just a narrator, just you hear her voice and you immediately know it's Catherine Deneuve. She, you know, the new wave cinema is Catherine Deneuve from the 60s in French cinema.
Right, right.
Loved her so much.
Right. Willem Dafoe at 18. What a face. Are you kidding me?
Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe is equally as powerful on the stage in live theater as he is.
Which is rare, right?
Without a doubt, yeah. I mean, the Wooster Group, there's Willem Dafoe in New York City in the 70s and the 80s. And it was sort of stock and trade, made his living as kind of like the evil villain or the bad guy.
At that. Are you kidding?
That really is him. Gosh. But just a powerful all-around guy. Again, I'll watch him do just about anything.
Okay, at 14, hold on while I get to this spot, okay. Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac, the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm. Inside, right.
Inside Llewyn Davis. Just a wonderful film. It's kind of like the 1960s folk scene where I think initially, then a Marriage Story, he's in that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Just really, really wonderful. I think right now he's got two films that are in the theaters. So yeah, Oscar Isaac, lovely.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton, one of these.
The White Witch from... The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
She's kind of like the Willem Dafoe.
She's weird.
Right?
Michael Clayton.
The look itself, you know what I mean? So many actors who really break through, a most unusual look.
Mm-hmm.
But she's kind of androgynous.
Yes,
right?
She is.
We just saw her in a film just this past week, which was wonderful. And again, she plays that sexless kind of persona.
Mm-hmm.
But just love her.
Joaquin Phoenix.
I love him.
Do you?
Again, yeah, he's crazy. He's a crazy sort of. He is.
I don't think I've ever seen him in a film.
Never?
Mm-mm.
He's over the top. He's kind of like the opposite of what I was just saying about any other actor, naturalistic style. He's not that. He's big, larger than life. He kind of eats the screen. But Joaquin Phoenix, fabulous actor. Yeah.
Okay. Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore, you know, she's one of
these. She's also been around a long time.
She is. She's been around probably since the, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the rare women in the business who has, you know, what happens is, you know, young, fresh female faces come. Their shelf life is extremely
short.
But not Julianne Moore. She supersedes all that. She's won at least one Oscar. Again, I don't know what she's been in recently. I've seen her a couple films on Netflix, but she's well into her 50s, major career.
Viola Davis.
Man, she powerful. I mean,
oh man,
this you just can't say enough about Viola Davis.
That's another face.
Yeah, again,
that just I mean, okay.
Big and strong.
Moving ahead, Nicole Kidman is at 5.
Okay, if
you've liked her a long time.
Well, here's the thing: if you go to like you know the AMC theater. She does this thing, like a promo, like the AMC. You go to, like, say like at AMC, the movie's, you know, scheduled at 2:40, the movie's going to start. Literally, no exaggeration, you will sit through 20 to 25 minutes of previews. And Holy then at the very end of the previews, now we don't do this anymore, at the very end of the previews, AMC runs a promo with Nicole Kidman, which essentially is, you know, at the end of the pandemic, they produced this thing that said, "Welcome back." There's nothing quite like sitting in a movie theater, and it's her. I mean, Nicole Kidman, famously, you know, married to Tom Cruise decades ago.
Right. Now married to, what's his name?
Country singer.
Yeah, right.
Toby.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Nope. Keith Urban.
Yeah, thank you. She's Julianne Moore. But
they're very similar to me.
Her plastic surgery.
Yes, has really hurt her, I think.
She continues to work because she's such a fine actor.
I think she looks... Like, she's creepy looking.
Yeah, she is.
You think so, too?
Mm-hmm. But she's so excellent. So you have to sort of accept that, what she's done to her face. But she continues to work because she's so excellent. That's all.
Keanu Reeves at 4.
I love him.
Do you?
I love everything about him.
Do you really?
He's an everyman.
I did not know that.
In some ways, he's kind of Jimmy Stewart-ish to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The John Wick films. Yeah. And if you know anything about him personally, he's just... I mean, he rides the subway in New York City.
Does he?
He wanders around and lives his life despite his celebrity, and he takes people in. People approach him, and he's like, hey. But he's got a huge catalog of films. But he's a superhero, but he's a regular guy.
Daniel Day-Lewis, 3.
One of the greatest actors of any generation.
Oh, my gosh.
There Will Be Blood.
Oh.
I mean.
Incredible. Gangs of New York.
Just.
My Left Foot. Remember that?
I'm surprised to see him on the list.
Me
because
too.
Essentially he's retired.
He's hard. Right. Did I see that he's doing a new film? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
I saw it on Twitter. No, that does not mean it's happening.
Right.
Because you have to take that with a grain of salt.
He pulled away. I bet it's been 10 years since he's done a movie. Easily 10 years.
Probably.
So,
look how much few movies he's done. Overall.
I love him so much.
1, Denzel.
Denzel, I mean, say what you will, one of the greats.
I just don't think you can do anything.
And Denzel's cool because, you know, Denzel's taken the August Wilson canon and he's produced it himself and he's appeared in multiple films and, you know, recreations or either on film, television, or on the stage. So.
You have a favorite Denzel?
I can't say something stands out to me that I go, this above all.
Book of Eli?
Oh, that's excellent.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Flight?
I love him so much, yeah. That's a good list. Okay, I'm going to go back and look at it much deeper and then go back and watch the films.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Happy Friday to you, the 5 o'clock hour. If you're working, it's time to go home.
It is time to go home. And if you're waiting in traffic and you're wondering what the heck is going on, in case you didn't hear, the bathtub area is closed because of flooding. It's supposed to be receding by midnight tonight. But they thought it would crest maybe somewhere around 12:30 p.m. today. So it's just going to make for a mess of a way home for everybody.
I mean, it was closed, then open.
Yeah, because when you came to work today, it was open.
Yeah.
And by the time I came to work today, which was at about 11:30, it was closing.
All right. It's a weird thing. So apparently they've set aside millions more dollars to try to rectify that, build a higher wall.
How are you going to rectify that?
I put pumps in. I'm not even quite sure.
I don't know how you, I mean, look at where it is.
Yeah. I mean, look at the parkway. The parkway is like 1940s, 1950s
David Lawrence, it was his idea.
Right. So
to
there
have
it is.
All those roads run right through the city.
It's on the water's edge. And I mean, I don't know how you change something like that, but greater minds than ours. Hopefully we'll get to work on this because this happens. It's been a while. It's been more than several years since the last time there was something like this.
Yeah.
But how can you have a major thoroughfare through a major city closed because of rising water?
Right. We talked to Doug Oster in our first hour. If you're a gardener, you might want to go back and check out. Not you might. You should go back and check out this segment because he talked a lot about what it's like to garden at a time like this when there's so much water and it's going to get warm next week and all of a sudden things are going to go crazy. I cannot wait for that. Anyway, that was in our 4 o'clock hour. Also, we talked about the 25 greatest actors of the 21st century, which was an interesting conversation. And This or That was in the first hour.
See Friday,
so you can check that out at our podcast. But oh, and is it too early for me to tell you?
Tell me what?
Your weekend has begun.
Oh. Thank you, sir. Very much so. Finally, the weekend is here. You have plans for the weekend?
I do have plans. Mm-hmm. A big time bridal shower at my house tomorrow
for my daughter. Really?
Yep.
Wait, you were just at what? Was it last week? Or
oh, no. That
two
was,
weeks ago.
That was 3 weeks ago.
Good Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, or thereabouts, right?
Right, exactly.
So, okay.
Yeah, so we're going to have a super good time
tomorrow.
Uh-huh. I'm excited about it.
Are you cooking?
I'm not cooking. Mm. I'm working with our good friends at Bistro To Go.
Excellent.
And a brand new vendor that I'm excited to talk about next week.
Very nice.
And anyway, yeah, looking forward to a really good time.
How many guests?
21.
Mm-hmm. All right, very nice.
Should be fun.
The bridal showers continue.
Okay, well, things aren't fun at the New York Times, John. On the front page of the Wall Street Journal today, there's an article about the bosses at the New York Times that are trying to quash rebellion in the newsroom. It says that over the past several weeks, Charlotte Berendt, a top New York Times editor in charge of probing workplace issues in the newsroom, has summoned close to 20 employees for interviews, trying to find out which staffer leaked confidential info related to the Gaza war coverage to another media outlet. So it's another thing that they're going to pile on top of all the other things, where management is at odds with factions of the newsroom over all sorts of things, union negotiations. But the thing that interests me more than that, because, you know, the union negotiations are their world, but the coverage of sensitive topics is all of our world.
Yeah.
All of us who read publications and those of us who read the New York Times. Anyway, coverage of sensitive topics like the transgender community and social justice. Now, reporting about the Gaza war, John, has been a particular flashpoint, especially over an in-depth article that was so well done. I read this article several times. I sent it to several people because, as critical as I've been about the New York Times and their coverage in the past, I felt like this article was really hit at something that was essential to know, and that's sexual violence as a part of war. And that is what Hamas weaponized when they attacked on October 7th.
Right.
Now, some staffers are questioning the reporting behind it, and they're saying that the suffering of Gazans isn't getting the same attention. Times leaders say that they stand by the reporting.
So why does it matter? Well, when you think about the failure of independent news sources, like what's happened here locally, of course, has happened nationally, I would say around the world as well. You know, hedge fund operators have bought newspapers and squeezed every last cent out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So across the country, hundreds and hundreds of newspapers have fallen. And we need independent journalism. We don't need opinion journalism. I mean, there's opinion
enough of
page,
it.
Of course, right? But the New York Times, you know, since the 1850s has essentially been the paper of record, for better or worse. From my perspective, and I think it's true from most people's perspective, the New York Times is a liberal-leaning news source, which, of course, is most news sources in today's marketplace. But they are wildly successful. They have unlocked the way to look to monetize the digital news area,
mm-hmm.
where most news publications can't do that. They mm-hmm. just can't. So more than 10 million people subscribe to the New York Times. Now, the problem is
10 million people.
Yeah. I mean, over last quarter, they added 300,000 new subscribers over last quarter. The problem is, with newer, younger reporters, their feelings apparently are hurt and they feel bullied in the newsroom because what they're doing is they are blending opinion and news reporting. They're not essentially reporting the news anymore. And so now there's pushback from Times management saying, well, hold on, this doesn't work that way. And it's caused a lot of upheaval, hard feelings, and poor reporting.
Yeah.
All the news that's fit to print. News, not opinion. So it questions the validity of the New York Times And of course, by that association, all media, what am I reading? What am I listening to? What am I hearing? Is this news or is this some wackadoodle's idea of what should be news, whether it's the war in Gaza or trans issues or you name it, it doesn't really matter, but they become topical. And so they've hurt the integrity of news gathering sources.
People on the actual staff, actual reporters, weren't happy with that sexual violence story because they felt like it was, quote unquote, too hard on Hamas. It's a terrorist organization we're talking about, right? Anyway, they were upset about that. And so they leaked internal information, like internal communications.
At meetings and whatnot.
Right, yeah. to outside sources to try to sabotage the article by the Times.
You're undermining your employer.
Right. So the editor said, I mean, that it felt to me and my colleagues like a breakdown in the sort of trust and collaboration that's necessary in the editorial process.
Yep.
He said, I haven't seen that happen before. I think that they have been holding off for a long time, right-leaning conservatives
yes.
who think that it's a lib paper.
It is a lip paper.
It is a lip paper. But now they're holding off far left people who are on their own payroll who think that it's not enough of a left paper.
It's a hot mess.
It's a hot mess.
So who do you trust? What news sources do you trust?
Read widely is my only answer to that.
I agree.
It's my only answer. Because if you are trusting one particular source, I'm telling you, you're not going to get the whole story.
Right.
If you can read four or five, at least dip into them every single day.
Please.
I think that's the best way.
So in today's Wall Street Journal, which I would say is a moderate to conservative news source, the headline is New York Times bosses seek to quash rebellion in the newsroom. Of course, it's April. It feels as though it's sort of snuck up on us. But we do talk about this probably annually, that April is National Poetry Month. And much to your surprise, after sort of disavowing or minimizing poetry all your life, you've fallen in line.
Yes.
You've become a poetry lover. Is
I
that
did.
Fair to say?
I have. I've become a poet. I don't know how this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. It was probably 6 or 7 years ago this month that you decided to take it upon yourself. You were dissatisfied as my co-host with my derision of poetry.
I sort of took it personal. Like, yeah, I couldn't believe you were deriding. I mean, all poetry. I mean, how do you do that?
It was like a blanket disdain.
I was like, what is going on here?
I've said multiple times that I just was annoyed because it was making me slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. I like to read a story. I like to get to the article. Right. I want to read, you know, the memoir. I don't want to sit there and meditate on it.
So you were hating on like the great poets.
Yeah, I was.
Because they were too fat, too slow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Misha Willits with us. Misha's been a regular guest of ours over the many years. He is a poet. His poems, essays, translations, and academic articles appear widely. He teaches English at Seattle Pacific University. Misha, disdain headed your way.
What a welcome. Kathy, I have to say that yours is one of my very favorite conversion narratives.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to lay bare my appalling derision of such a beautiful art form that I've come to love. I just can't.
And now with a megaphone of 50,000 watts, I mean, she's a poetry evangelist, isn't she?
That's right. The zeal of the convert.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
That's right.
I had a similar situation because I spent most of my life disdaining ballet.
Did you?
I was a young punky kind of male, and I was super into theater and into poetry and into literature and into painting. And I just thought, I don't need one more thing, you know? And then I met my wife, who is, she was faculty member at Pacific Northwest Ballet.
Huh?
And I was like, oh, great. Now I'm going to be dragged to these kinds of things all the time.
Yeah.
And now I love it. I absolutely can't wait every month when we get to go.
Okay. I wonder if our conversion stories are similar, which is that I didn't appreciate what poetry was asking me to do and what it would produce in me. I mean, I guess I understood what it was asking me to do, and that's what made me mad and resistant to it. But I think I didn't realize what it was going to produce.
Yeah, you know, I had a similar experience also with classical music, with not knowing what I was listening for. you know, I knew it was pretty, but when I started first going to orchestral concerts and that, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. Like, how much am I listening to? Am I supposed to watch the conductor? Mm. Right. And I had a friend who knew about these things, and he said, oh, listen, isn't that so ironic? And I just thought, how? It's a violin going, you know. But it took a long time to learn the vocabulary necessary to even begin to appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, so then whether it's poetry, classical music, ballet, there's a reason, obviously, that these things have endured, these art pieces have endured the test of time, right?
Yeah, that's one of the great things about heritage, right? Like, you can look around and see a bunch of other people being moved by it, and you can look down the corridor of history and see millions of people saying, literally some of them, this is what makes life worth living.
Yeah.
And how could you sneer at that? Like, who are you, oh man,
yes,
to turn up your nose at an inheritance like that?
But it also gives me pause, because the era that we live in right now, I mean, you think ballet companies or opera companies, I mean, even theater, they're all suffering, you know, post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. People have sort of turned up their nose or turned away to, you know, stream instead.
For goodness sake, you're right about that, and it is daunting. Rebuilding the ruins of culture is the task of the generation, it seems to me.
Rebuilding the ruins of culture.
Yeah.
Okay, so looking at poetry, I mean, because it specifically focuses on so many things around culture, right, and feelings, yeah, and all these different things, Misha. Talk about, so what was that like, the initial meeting of the ballerina with the poet? I mean, that's like, you know, stuff of a novel.
Yeah, it was a bit legendary that way. Well, we were at a Bible study, actually. We met at a Bible study. It was a large one. There's something 30 people in the room. And Amber, now Mrs. Willett, walked in late, as is her custom, and began sort of stretching in a strange way,
yeah,
like pointing her toes and pulling on something, you know, because there's not 30 chairs in the room, so we're all sitting on the floor opening the Word. And immediately she started saying bright, smart things in that whole room, just being bold. And boy, I couldn't wait. As soon as we prayed afterwards and said, amen, I stood up and she stood up and we met in the middle of a circle. We're like, okay, wow, who are you? What's going on here?
Fabulous. Okay, so there's that initial rush. Now, at what point after, you know, you were dating for a while, did she say, if you love me, let me reveal my battered feet to you?
You know, I'm going to just trust that maybe she won't listen to this, but I've never said this before, but to be perfectly honest, I was shocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was so beautiful, and she is so beautiful, and she pulled out her feet one time, and I was like, oh my gosh, is that right? I didn't know to expect it. Now, of course, I wasn't part of the ballet world. I didn't realize that was part of it. And I was like, wow, I've never seen any feet that look like that, but I had to act gallant and, oh, how beautiful you are in all of your
body. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, but I really was, it took my breath away. I was like, whoa, is that what happens?
I mean, talk about suffering for your art, right? I mean, there it is, the physical manifestation, because a ballerina's feet, all those hours and hours on point shoes, they become something else. They don't look like feet anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Pain for beauty is the thing that they say. It has to cost you something.
Okay, but poetry costs you something too. And what it cost me was time. Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
And that's what I was so like annoyed with. But it's so, what does it cost you?
So as a producer of poetry, what it costs me is anxiety. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but when I'm working on a poem or a set of poems, I worry about them all the time, like they're my children.
Really?
Like I'll be trying to sleep at night, and something I wrote 2 weeks ago is just going over and over in my head, like, is that right? Did I say it? Is that perfect? Is it its true self yet? Or do I have to do some more things to it, you know?
Beautiful.
And I don't let it go until it's published. Once it's out there, I think, okay, it's not mine anymore. I trust I raised it well. Mm. You know, it'll do its work, but it's off my hands. But until that moment, I am constantly tumbling over my head whether or not I did it right.
Oh, fabulous. Do you, I wonder, do you carry the burden of, you know, calling yourself a poet? I mean, because, you know, there's your wife. She's a ballerina. You can see the art on the stage, of course.
Right, right.
But then, you know, you meet someone at a party and they go, what do you do? You know, and you go, well, you know, this is what, I'm a poet. It comes with a dose of derision, doesn't it?
It does. It's funny that way, and I don't know why. Like, everybody thinks maybe they can be one. And I think, sure, maybe inside yourself you could learn, but not everyone has like an inner dentist either. Like, I'm not gonna try. Like this is something I trained for and studied for and practiced. You know.
Yes, and like a fine instrument, you're in tune with it.
Yeah, that's right. And eventually, I mean, when the book started coming out, it's easier. But I 100% had that feeling for the first few years. I was like, well, this is what I spend my spare time doing, if that's what you're asking, you know.
Yes.
Misha, I don't know when I read this quote. It was a long time ago. E.M. Forster, the novelist, and he, for all I know, he might be a poet too, but I love him because of his novels. He said that when he published a book, he wished that it could be anonymous, that every book could be anonymous, because he said once it's out there, he said it, just like you said, he said it doesn't belong to me anymore.
Yeah.
And I almost don't want it to pollute me or me to pollute it.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yes. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I gave a reading one time, and there was a husband and wife who were having a disagreement about what one of my poems meant. And they asked me to solve it for them. Mm. I'm some kind of Solomon saying, it goes with you. You know, and I was like, I was thinking more what she said in the end. And the husband just kept disagreeing, which I really appreciated. He thought, no, you guys are wrong.
Yeah.
Here's what the poem means. You, poet, are wrong about what this poem means. And he just stood up for it. And I thought, yeah, man, that's right. It's ours now. This just exists, and we can talk about it. I'm not sure I'm the final authority.
That's cool. So it speaks to the nature of art, right? That the creator may mean one thing, but then it takes its life, its own life, and it becomes whatever I think it is.
One hopes. I mean, not whatever one thinks it is, right? But it has a meaning, but the meaning is inherent in the piece, not in the originator.
Mm.
Fabulous.
Okay. All right, so how about we hear some poetry?
Let's do it. I wanted to read this little thing about spring, and this is for you, Kathy, about conversion experiences.
Okay.
So this is a poem from C.S. Lewis, who all the other things he was also a poet of sorts. And he started out mainly thinking he was going to be a poet. He took a walk on Addison's Walk, which is like a park behind the college where he taught. And it's on that route that he became a Christian, that Tolkien and other friends convinced him of the truth of Christianity. So when it's talking about spring and rebirth, it's also talking about the inner rebirth of the believer. Hmm. So this is what the bird said. I heard in Addison's Walk a bird sing clear. This year, the summer will come true. This year, this year. Winds will not strip the blossom from the apple trees this year, nor want of rain destroy the peas. This year, time's nature will no more defeat you, nor all the promised moments in their passing cheat you. This time, they will not lead you round and back to autumn, 1 year older by the well-worn track. This year, as all the flowers foretell, we shall escape the circle and undo the spell. Often deceived, yet open once again your heart. Quick, 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 quick. The gates are drawn apart.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh.
So there's a little slice of heaven in that, right? In this year, all will be right and well in some way.
That's right. That's the promise of every spring. You think, man, how is evil possible? How is even being tired possible in a world with these cherry blossoms?
Mm. How about undo the spell?
Yes.
Right?
That's Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
That's right. That's right. He's often working through things in his poems or in his letters that then show up in fiction later on,
wow,
which I think is an underappreciated part of Lewis.
That's fabulous.
Wow, I love that.
Okay, Misha, time is short. You have one more poem?
I'll do one last one that's a bit of a celebration. This is one that I wrote. It's from the new manuscript, and it's for Denise Levertov, who is an essayist and a poet that I respect a lot.
Wonderful.
It's called Prepare. I telegram you to say, flick the ticker tape switch and announce to the bunting hangers an order of bunting. I am coming. When I arrive, the adulation stings, of course. A human is only made to stand so much affection before he doubts the sincerity of the gathered. Eventually, the songs subside and the suds are swept up. The people need showers, after all, and to go to work. Plus, I have brought with me only these libretti. gilded and resplendent though they may be, intoxicating and otherworldly, allowed to turn the actual river green. All I have brought with me is freeing everything.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Before you doubt the sincerity, tell me that line again.
Before he begins to doubt the sincerity of the gathered.
Oh, that's perfectly said.
I telegram you the ticker tape?
I telegram you the safe place. Yeah, because I always wanted to go to those ticker tape parades that you see in old Life magazine.
Yeah, of course.
And I thought, what kind of world, what kind of society would you have in order for people to gather like that again?
Oh, that's
what
beautiful.
Could be so celebratory?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And you brought in that, you know, the cynicism of it. Like, you can't,
right.
you couldn't even really fully enjoy it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's right. There'd be all these layers of irony and things like that now. But on some spring days, when the blossoms are out like their own ticker tape parades, it seems just possible.
Fabulous.
Boy, Misha, that's wonderful.
Okay, Misha, so there's a new manuscript? There's a new book out?
The new book is out. It's under consideration. It's several publishers right now. I'm switching teams, and I'm talking to four different places right now, but I bet by next year this time we'll have it in our hands.
Fabulous.
Terrific. Misha Willett, pleasure to have you back.
Thank
Happy
you, Misha.
National Poetry Month.
Always a joy. Thank you.
Our mm-hmm. pleasure.
You can check out Misha's books. He's the author of The Elegy Beta and Phases, and you can check him out online.
MishaWillett.com.
Sometimes I think grilled cheese. And it's not something that I eat often because I don't know if you are aware, John. It's not a low-calorie meal.
No, it's not.
But it's such a delicious bit of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel opinionated about how it should be assembled.
Of course.
And I find that a lot of people feel opinionated also.
Strong feelings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But today's a particularly grilled cheese day.
Because it's grilled cheese sandwich day.
It is.
This is the national holiday.
Cloudy and wet suits it fine.
Perfect.
With a bowl of soup.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
Tomato is my choice.
I agree.
Grilled cheese and tomato,
mm-hmm.
essentially, enduringly great.
Yeah. Okay. You're doing a grilled cheese sandwich. Is it, what kind of cheese?
Well, so this is where
the rubber meets the road a little bit.
I mean, I like a melty cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I like an American cheese. I'm not saying a Kraft single,
mm-hmm.
okay? Not Kraft single. I'm saying an actual American cheese, you know, that you would cut yourself or have someone cut, but it's
sure.
not a Kraft single.
Right.
I think that's a delicious option. I think Krukalo is my latest favorite.
Krukalo? What the heck Krukalo?
Go to Penn Mac, go to
really?
The cheese counter
the
and ask them for Krukalo.
Really?
It's a very melty cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I like it very, very much. Mm-hmm. And I would even go as far as a Swiss.
Sure. Sharp cheddar is my go-to.
Okay. Sharp.
A nice
yeah. okay.
sharp cheddar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Along with what kind of bread? There's another level there.
I would always go with a white or wheat bread. As much as I love a pumpernickel,
mm-hmm.
it's too much for me there.
Sourdough?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
I would like the tang of uh-huh. the sourdough.
And the accoutrement. Are you putting anything on the grilled cheese?
I am really, unless it's bacon, which is the blowout, most delicious thing ever.
I agree.
I would not put anything.
Nothing.
Nothing on the grilled cheese.
Hmm. I'm doing like a sourdough bread
okay.
with sharp cheddar with the aforementioned bacon, and especially if it's in season, a nice thick slice or two of tomato,
mm.
and also some Dijon mustard.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here's where we always fight, and yep. it's not going to be any different this year, is you cannot open the grilled cheese once it's cooked.
That's wrong.
If you're putting a tomato in there, you have to cook the tomato
no,
in
no.
there.
Not doing that.
You're defeating the purpose.
Now just quickly throw it in there.
No, because then you're going to try to slap it back together. It's not mm-hmm. going to go.
It's fine. Because literally, when that tomato gets on there, within 6 minutes, that sandwich is in my belly.
Yeah, but... Okay, fine.
It's how it works. Anyway, happy National Grilled Cheese Day. This is a good day to have one.
It's been another week. That means it's time for John and Kathy's Week in Review. What was everyone talking about this week?
Talking about and experiencing the eclipse. I mean, it got so much coverage. This is one of these rare instances, at least from my perspective, that the hype lived up to itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were able to go and see it, spend the time and travel, and then allow that to envelop you, it was fabulous.
Yep. Everybody was talking about the death of OJ as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened yesterday. And people locally are talking about flooding.
Oh, boy.
It's incredible.
What was a conversation that made you think?
Wednesday, 4:15, Ken Chitwood, who is the president of the Religious News Association, who, by the way, they're headed to Pittsburgh for their annual convention, their 75th, actually. It's not often that you and I get to talk to somebody who is doing actual news reporting. We live
right.
in this. And so I loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, to think about, it's such a privilege. It's a wonderful pleasure to talk about God and to think about other people, men and women who are doing this exact
right.
same thing, reporting on the stories.
And like he said, honoring people who honor somebody's faith as opposed to other reporters who tend to denigrate it.
Yeah.
Or leave it out of the conversation entirely.
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
I picked, this was a big surprise for me because this is not a topic I really was eager to talk about. Yesterday at 4:10, Dr. Cal Beisner on climate.
Oh, that was an interesting conversation. Well-reasoned, I would say.
This is why I never like to talk about it. It's because people have already decided what they think before you enter into the conversation, and so there's no conversation.
Right.
Cal Beisner, who I assumed was going to come down on it from one perspective only, was not like that at all.
Very nuanced.
And I really appreciated that
yes,
so
and
much.
And a man of faith.
And I, yeah.
And wasn't wackadoodle.
Right. So that was yesterday at 4:10.
Excellent.
So if you missed either one of these, check out the podcast wherever you get them. The Ride Home.
What are you reading?
I am still reading Lauris.
Okay.
Which is the book about a fool for Christ. It's very slow. I find myself, reading for pleasure is one thing because we read all day long. And so then by the time I do decide to read for pleasure, seriously, I'm so sorry. I apologize to myself that I read four pages and then I go, wait, that was so thick.
It's a pretty substantive story.
But
reading.
Then I go back and I have to read like the same chapter.
Yeah.
They're like five times sometimes. And I go, John, so it becomes pleasurable. But it comes with a caveat, like, you big dummy.
Yeah, you have to work at
That's
it.
That's all.
I'm almost done with A Right Worthy Woman by Ruth Watson. It is such... This is the story I think I told you about for the last 2 weeks. It's a true story about Virginia's Black Wall Street.
Mm.
Maggie Lena Walker is the main character. I say main character like it's a novel. It reads like a novel, but it's a true story about her. Her mom, formerly enslaved, first Black woman to establish and preside over a bank in the U.S. She is a powerful character. I absolutely love the book. A Right Worthy Woman.
Wonderful.
What did you eat?
We do this thing in our house. We call it Chipotle.
Right.
Right. And so it is thin strips of beef with lime rice, with grilled onions and peppers, and guacamole
Great.
With some Tabasco or some hot sauce. And we just put it in a bowl, and it's like the ultimate in comfort food. We had that this week.
That's delicious.
It's so good. It's so good. We call it Chipotle. I don't know
I
what else
love
people
it.
Call it. Yeah.
I love that. Well, I'm talking about something that is just elemental, like something that is in my pantry at all times. Mm. I've eaten it three different times this week. You buy it at Trader Joe's. I'll give them a plug. Chickpeas with parsley and cumin.
Oh.
It is my number one favorite thing I've ever gotten from Trader Joe's.
Is it frozen or in
no,
a can?
No, it's in a can.
Oh, really?
Cool. I don't really like chickpeas.
I like chickpeas.
If you like chickpeas, even if you don't, you have got to try these.
Really?
I put them on salads.
What?
It's one of the building blocks of my life.
Parsley and
cumin.
Interesting.
Delicious.
What did you watch?
Couple things just quickly. We went to the theater last night.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and saw the live recording of the NPR Saturday morning show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Such a fun thing to do.
So much fun. Well, so, I mean, it was at the Benedum. Place was packed. And it's going to air this Saturday morning. Big time special guest, super, super Yinzer explosion. So a lot of fun. We also were the other night, it was late. It was like 9:30 or something. Of course, you know, the aforementioned, we love to watch TCM. It's my go-to channel. They were airing The Godfather, which is one of those movies. Well, I was like, hey, Godfather's on.
And everybody runs in.
Francis Ford Coppola.
What a gorgeous film.
Still holds up. It's a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. Mm. Well, you're never going to believe this, but a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess, we watched, my husband and I told you, watched Masters of the Air, which is the new Apple program produced by Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks about the bomber pilots in World War II. It was so excellent that we followed it up by watching the documentary called The Bloody Hundredth about that and giving more details. It was so interesting that we watched Saving Private Ryan, which I'd never seen. Then we watched all 10 episodes of Band of Brothers.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Which is epic.
It sure is.
What a production. And then we watched The Pacific.
Holy smokes.
Which is also produced by the same people. Yeah, These are all produced by the same guys. The Pacific, I cannot explain to you how different my opinion on that theater is since I watched it. I truly can't get over it. And then last night we watched Greyhound, which was about the supply ships in the North Atlantic, starring Tom Hanks.
Is this all Apple?
Between Apple and Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
You're steeped in World War II. Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks have contributed to our understanding of our own country is, I can't even put words to it.
Excellent.
What was the best news you heard this week?
The eclipse. The aforementioned eclipse, seriously, because there was so much written about it, talked about it, and we made such an effort after watching the weather forecast, and it was so incredible. It was just so lovely and so powerful. It was otherworldly, as it should be, of course, but I loved it so much. And as a family, we traveled and loved it and just had a really, really great time.
Best news I heard is that my daughter's bridal shower's tomorrow.
Fabulous.
We're going to have a great time.
What have you been listening to?
Yes, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Well, it don't mean a thing. All you got to do is sing. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm everything you got. Yes, don't mean a thing.
No, I don't want to minimize Louis Armstrong, but as we talked about grilled cheese as a comfort food, this is my comfort music.
Oh, me too.
Right? If I'm whatever I'm feeling, happy, sad, indifferent, if I put this on, I connect with it emotionally.
There's no greater master.
I don't think so. Really. It's deceiving in its power and simplicity.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also genius.
And completely unique.
Love it.
Completely unique. All right. Well, this isn't in that category. Because nothing's in Louis Armstrong's category.
It's a high bar.
But this is fabulous.
It was a wicked and wild wind down the door. Shadow windows and the sound of drums, and people couldn't believe what I've become. Revolutionaries wait for my head on a silver plate. I'm just a puppet on a lonely string. Oh,
who would ever want to be king?
Now I hear Jerusalem bells
and ringing bells.
That's Coldplay and the Love Choir on Tiny Desk.
Yeah.
You got to hear this next part. Are you ready? So good.
Okay, let's go, let's go, let's go.
There's something about the live thing and adding the choir to it. Okay, here, listen to this.
so much fun. Well, as wet as it's been, it looks as though the weekend's going to dry out, and Sunday looks particularly spectacular. So a few things to do in and around Pittsburgh this weekend. Listen, I can't stress this enough, that Spring Carnival at Carnegie Mellon. If you've never been, it's a really fun celebration. And if you're someone who loves weird and traditional transportation, this is part of the Spring Carnival at Carnegie Mellon. Since 1920, they do these buggy races in Schenley Park. And these buggy races, it doesn't do it justice because it's not really a buggy. They're like these high-tech, beautiful things. They go up to 40 miles an hour down Schenley Park. The preliminaries started today. The finals, though, start tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and they run through noon. It's just incredible. Take your kids to go see this thing. Of course, obviously it's free, and it feels as though the entire Carnegie Mellon assembly is at Schenley Park to see these things. Also, of course, the Spring Carnival, there's rides. It looks like a traditional fair.
Right.
They also have robots there because it's Carnegie Mellon. But Spring Carnival this weekend at CMU, not to be missed. Also, happy birthday to Braddock Carnegie Library.
Good for them.
Yep, one the first Carnegie Library. Yeah. Happens tomorrow from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, at, of course, in Braddock. General admission is $5. Kids under 5 are free. Also, aforementioned ballet that we talked about as well, the Kelly Strayhorn Theater, this evening at 7 o'clock and Saturday at 1 o'clock and Sunday as well. Really traditional ballet and unusual ballet as well. Kelly Strayhorn Theater for more information about that. SteelCity.com is happening as well. Monroeville Convention Center, the 600 vendors and 100,000 square feet. Celebrities include Gina Davis, Susan Sarandon, who else? Beverly Hills cast, Shannon Doherty, Tori Spelling.
Oh my gosh,
Jason Priestley.
Kidding.
Yeah, all these, you know, it's kind of like a throwback. Tickets are expensive, $32 to get in. But if, you know, that's your kind of thing, it's a gigantic event. Steel City Con.
Also today,
yeah,
have a grilled cheese before midnight because it's National Grilled Cheese Day.
I think I have
and,
to.
Yeah, I think we all have to. Lexi, you asked me an important question in the news break.
Yes, I did.
And?
I asked you, when you toast your sandwich, do you use butter or do you use mayo?
Yee.
Okay, now listen, I've always used butter, but I read about mayo recently and I'm here for it. It sounds awesome.
Don't do that.
What?
I've tried it before.
Yeah?
I think that, well, I also cook like a crazy person and I always keep my heat just a little too high. So if you cook like that, maybe don't use mayo because it's super easy to burn.
Okay.
But I will say it was not a bad sandwich.
Okay, but does it taste as good?
I mean, I prefer butter.
Why would you do that? Why the mayonnaise? What's the benefit of that?
Well, it has a little more tang to it, right? A little more flavor than butter, I would think.
Okay.
But I haven't tried it.
And I also think that it's supposed to add a crispier layer.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to brown in a different way?
Yeah.
Cook it slow, right? Slow.
Low and slow. Don't do what I did.
That's what I think, yeah.
Well, listen, you know, I do the mayonnaise turkey at Thanksgiving.
Oh, right, of course.
And it really does make a beautiful
crispy.
It makes a beautiful brown turkey. So I just kind of assumed it would do the same thing for a grilled cheese.
I don't know. I mean,
what kind of cheese are you putting in, Lex?
I'm using mozzarella, probably.
Oh,
what?
The mozzarella. Uh-huh.
That's just usually what's
fresh
on
hand. Fresh mozzarella or shredded mozzarella?
Like...
If you can
get
the
I guess
fresh.
Shredded.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
Not fresh.
Okay.
It has too much moisture in it.
Okay. Right.
Excellent. All right, so, I mean...
Are you doing that tonight, John?
Yeah, I'm committed to this.
And do you have cheese, or you're going to buy it now?
I know we always have a block of cheddar, sharp cheddar,
okay.
In the kitchen. So, yeah, I'm going
but
there.
But you don't have a tomato at home, do you?
I do not, or tomato soup. Uh-huh. So
I think you're going to need to
I need to stop and get some
that.
Bread as well, so...
Because it's not enough to have just the grilled cheese.
No.
Will you have chips with that?
Of course.
Okay.
Chips with a roof shingle.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Give me the chips, always.
So delicious.
Yep.
Enjoy the heck out of it.
Yep. Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks as always for being with us. Mm-hmm. And hope you get to worship on Sunday with those who are around you in your community. And as always, say your prayers. Thanks for being with us.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.